Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome once again to The Zone. I am your host, Minister Tom Miracle. Just wanted to let you know a little bit what we're going to be talking about on this podcast. And as you have seen, it's going to be about storm warning once again, and another segment, another part of it called What If. Very, to me, very powerful message given by the Holy Spirit. It brought me to a place where I really had to look at my walk in the Lord. It made me realize, the message I should say, made me realize that, you know, maybe, no, definitely, there needs to be a change, even in my walk as a Christian. The message you're about to listen to and I will share with you is really thought-provoking, spiritually thought-provoking. You know, we have a tendency as Christians, especially, and nothing wrong with it to a point where, you know, we go with, you know, once saved, always saved. You know, we go by grace, and some people, you know, have that heart where they say once saved, always saved. I don't believe that that's necessarily true. I do believe that the grace of God is stronger and all of that is stronger than any sin. I also truly believe that you can't be called a Christian and live a life like the world, and you can't be a Christian and live a life like the devil, and you sure can't be a Christian and live a life like you used to in the world. So many people, unfortunately, or some people, I'll put it nicely, you know, think that, well, hey, you know, I'm saved now, so I just, you know, go to church and happy day. And you don't do nothing else with the Christian walk. And it's really sad. And, you know, and it's all grace, and it's about the free gift. What the free gift costs, I have shared with you before, this cost the blood of the holy blood of Jesus Christ. Those who claim to be Christian, and those who we are Christ followers, disciples of the Master, they have to come to an understanding that they just surrendered their will to God. They gave up their right and their will to do His will for them, and that's His word. And it wasn't, you know, with the blood of animals. It was with the precious, holy Son of God. And the what if really, really even takes you further in this regard. Because it's a message that makes you really look at your life in Christ. It makes you really look at yourself in the mirror and say, wow, if that was happening to me, would I be ready? Anyhow, we'll get into that very shortly. Just want to give you an update on Ellie. The information that I received was there's not been a lot of change in Ellie. Except she's been coughing, and that's good, so she could possibly get the tube out. There's a long post of a letter of praise from her parents on their website, and that really is. That's really what's been said. But the main thing is we're moving forward, I believe, in prayer in this, because you have to look at just a little bit of the little slim glimmer of hope. And there it is. There's not been a lot of change, but she has been coughing. And so that to me is a positive response to prayer. It just shows that this is going to be a process. is going to be a healing miraculous process, I believe. You see, a miracle is instantaneous. A miracle happens like what's the next word that comes out of my mouth? A blink of an eye, it's a better way to put it. A healing is a gradual process, but a miracle is instantaneous. A miracle means, I believe, it's to be or to become now. In other words, now. A healing, miracle, healing now. It happens just like that. Healing, if God so chooses by his will to do that way, is a process. One step at a time, maybe even a half a step at a time, maybe just a little less than a half a step at a time, just a little bit of moving forward. And you have to look at that and just thank God that, you know, that person was doing that the other day, and now they're doing that. So now the process of healing begins. And so I'm thankful, and I'm very happy to get this report, though I would love to hear more of the manifestation, miraculous power of God moving in Ellie's life. I thank the Lord that he is moving in her life, and that's what counts. So that's, you know, mostly that. I have to keep on praying for her. And like I said, the prayer lines are open. You got a prayer. If you want us to agree with you, or just stand with you in prayer, feel free to call. You know the number. Number is, I believe, 347-857-2785. Yes, call in number 347-857-2785. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. You want to leave me a prayer request, we have a P.O. box, and that's 5261 Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. box 5261 Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. So, let's talk about what if. Now, you know that we were on last broadcast. the part about the dream, and the part of that dream was, who were the creatures of the dream? And we got into most of it. And I think we'll just go into a little bit of, and finish it up, and then we'll go into what if. And let's see. Right, we talked about American dream is a lie. There's no scripture that says God's dream is American dream. We need to believe God's holy word. Don't let the devil cheat us out of what God has for us. Seek the Lord, read his word daily, fast and pray, and get strong in the Lord. That power is might, put on the whole armor of God, which you find that's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You got to find out for yourself. You can't believe what people are telling you, you know, as that's the answer. I'm not going to say that to you either. The Bible says, like God, that you have been a liar. And that includes me. I tell people, I said, you know what, don't believe me. Go find out in the Word for yourself. You know, go find out what I'm sharing with you or telling you is the Word of God, and it's true. You know, too many people listen to too many people without checking what they're saying. And there's where a lot of mistakes are made, especially in people's walk in Christ, because they hear the minister say all this stuff, and they think, well, that's got to be the Word of God, and they don't even look or check it out. For some reasons, they don't want to, because they just want to keep living in their sin. For some reasons, they just say, well, that's the one who went to Bible school and got his certificate or her certificate and got a degree and went to this famous Bible college. And, you know, I don't need to check it because that's their job. That's what they do. And that's a big mistake. Big, big mistake. Because when you do that, you're going by what a man says or what a woman says, or a minister says, the gospel. And, you know, And I'm not saying that they're doing it erroneously on purpose. You know, but the thing is, that's why I love when ministers say, you have your Bibles or that we're reading from here and show you what the scriptures are talking about and sharing with you. And sometimes, though you'll get people that will just, say what they want to say. And people will just say, well, that's got to be the word because this minister is well known and this minister, like I said, has got all these credentials and everything. Jesus said, and it's something that I hold dearly to when it comes to knowing who's who in ministry. And that is, he said, beware of men that come in sheep's clothing. He said, inside their raving wolves. He said, you'll know them by their fruits. He didn't say they know how well they preached. He didn't say how well they could quote the Bible. He didn't say how well they could shout. He didn't say how well they could run up and down the aisle. He didn't say, he didn't even say that how they pray for people and get healing or deliverance. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. Well, what's the fruit? Well, then you got to go to Galatians chapter 5, I believe, verse 21, which says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, gentleness, temperance, meekness, faith. Of such there is no law. And David crucified the flesh and crucified the flesh with the affection. Saying it, you want to know a true minister of the gospel. You want to know someone that I've called and ordained, whether it be a male or female, a woman, man, however you want to put it. You'll see the love of Jesus in their life. You'll see the long suffering of Christ in their life. You'll see mercy and humbleness. You'll see those fruits in their life. And that's how I view people, whether in ministry or just Christian. And I'll tell them, I say, I'm a fruit inspector. Of course, I have to look at my life first, but I'm looking for fruit in people's life, and I'm not. And if they don't have that fruit of those topics, love and joy and peace or whatever those are, like we just discussed, then my responsibility as a minister is to help them get there and understand where in the scripture, not only how to get there, but to keep it according to the scripture. So they can live a life fruitful unto the Lord, and people can see the fruits of God in their life. And so that is very important. And if I was going to tell you anything about anyone that calls himself a Christian, and I'll even go this far, even these people who are presidential nominees, even these people who are in positions who want to become president, look for the fruit. If you want to say, God, who do I pick? Who's the one that's going to help us have a great awakening, a great revival, a great move of God across the land? Who's the person that's going to show Christ? Now, I would not want to be, as a minister of the gospel, in that position of the President of the United States, because there's so many different ways and pressures coming at you. And so many different groups, organizations trying to pull you and persuade you to go their way. But those who are wanting to become the president, whether male or female, And they play the church with you. They go to your church, and that's what I'm saying about pastors. They bring in these candidates, and they let them speak in the pulpit, and their lifestyle is the way they believe is totally contrary to the Word of God. And yet they come in, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with you, ministers? What is wrong with you, leaders? What's your deal, man? I don't know if they do it for show or they're just doing it for points or they're trying to get, where they can get a position where they can be in something in the president, if that person wins his administration. I don't know. But it sure doesn't look right. And like I said, I'm not here telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying that you know, you, right now it's with 2015, a lot of people putting their hat in the ring, you know, others are starting to come in and people tell, I'm Christian, I'm this, I'm that. Look, know them by their fruits. Check their track record. See what they stand for according to the Word of God. If they don't stand for the Word of God, if you want a godly person in office and they don't meet the criteria and standards of the Bible, guess what? Check them off and say, not you. And I'll put another thing into you. If these candidates are having people who are organizations that are sponsoring them that are, according to the Word of God, ungodly, have the spirit of Antichrist, guess what? And these people, what do you want to use here? Consort with them, you know, are like buddy-buddy. Time to check them off too, because those people aren't living a Christ-like life. I don't care if they go to church. I don't care if they raise their hand. I don't care if they smile and shake the preacher's hand. The bottom line is, where's the fruit? And what's your track record? What do you really stand for according to the Word of God? Are you the kind of person that says one thing, but you melt under pressure and fall apart and then go along with the flow of the world? I don't want that kind of person. I'm not going to vote for that kind of person. I'm just being straight with you. You know, I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm just saying if you want a godly person to be the next president of the United States, then look for the fruit. And you say, well, what was that, Tom? Go to Galatians chapter 5. I believe it begins with 19 or 20 and all the way to the end of the chapter, and you'll know what the fruit is. And if you look through the other epistles, you know, besides Ephesians, if you go into Colossians, it'll tell you, it goes the same way. Paul, he reiterates it to the cities and the groups he's talking to, and he's bringing, though know, it's different wording, he's bringing the same message. You got to have fruit. You can't be, you know, staying where you're at. You've got to grow. I just wanted to bring that up, and I'm going to continue bringing it up because, you know, I think the last time people were looking for their wants to be met, and it ended up they became used by the system. Even so is it now. Okay, so now you heard a little bit of how my belief is and what I look for. You know, and in the history, I get people that are called, I'm the apostle. I'm apostle so-and-so. I'm the prophet so-and-so. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, really? So you're the one set forth? You're the prophet, so whatever comes out of your mouth, I'm supposed to believe? I don't think so. People don't understand that when God speaks to a person, a man or a woman, about a person, he's already told that person. They're just not listening. So he listens. A man or a woman who's gifted in the gift of prophecy or discerning of spirits, or you know, can be sent into the Holy Spirit as he's revealing things, and they think, you know, oh well, it came out of my mouth, the prophet, so it must be so. Like, give me a break. You know, I know better than that. I'll tell you something. The prophet is the Holy Spirit working through that person. The apostle is the Holy Spirit working through that person. The pastor in the office, and that is the Holy Spirit working through that person. The teacher, it is the Holy Spirit working in that office through that person. The evangelist, it is the Holy Spirit working through that person in the office of the evangelist. That's why I'm content with Minister Tom Miracle, because that's what I am. I am God uses me to minister to people, to minister to the saved, and minister to the lost, to minister whatever the Holy Spirit is leading to minister through me at that time. When you start giving name tags, you put yourself in a position where You know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. No, without Christ, I'm nothing. Zero. I cannot do anything without His leading and guiding by His Holy Spirit. True story. You know, and people want name tags. I don't know if they feel inferior. I don't know if they just want to say, look at me, God uses me in this area or what. But I don't see the apostles doing it. The only time the apostles did is when false apostles or situations would develop where they had to give the, what word I want to use here, the qualifications for the office that God was using them in. And not only the qualifications, but the works and the signs manifesting in their lives that prove that they were in the offices that the Holy Spirit had them in that time. So that's what I'm trying to say. You know, when someone says something to you, especially they call themselves a prophet or apostle and all this stuff, and it doesn't go along with what's happening with you or your spirit, especially, you know, then just put it on a shelf and, you know, thank the person for it. Don't go into it too deep. And just put it on a shelf and then watch and see what God does with it. Because it'll tell you something. How do I put this to you? God may say to a prophet or to someone to speak to you and say, I'm going to use you in this area, or I'm calling you out of this into that, or this or that. That's fine and dandy. But sometimes what he's trying to prepare you for what he's about to do. Doesn't mean you're going to do it immediately. Doesn't mean you're going to go right into it right now. It means he's letting you know this is what I got planned for you. And as long as you do what you're supposed to do and prepare yourself, I'll bring you into that place and position that I will manifest my glory in that area of your life. So I respect people who call themselves, don't get me wrong, I respect people that call themselves apostles or prophets to a point. I respect the office of the Holy Spirit and that person working in that area. But I do not, I repeat, do not go following after them. I did that when I was younger, way young in the Lord. And it was with R.W. Shambach. And I'll never forget when I was following, he was going to be in Indiana. I was going to go there. I went there. And he was giving one of the same messages I already heard in one of the other cities that I went to go see him at. And I'll never forget, I said, Lord, I said, it's the same message. What am I here for? I'm not learning anything. He said, you're here to be used. I'm like, what? You know, and what had ended up was, I ended up helping them take down the tent and help put the chairs in the truck. They needed manpower, and so I was available. And because I worked with General Motors at the time, I did that. I loaded trucks. One of my jobs, you know, the classification, well, not classification, but one of the jobs they had me do was, you know, load wheels in their trucks. So this was a piece of cake, but and the Holy Spirit let me know. He said, you know, you're following the sign, Tom. The signs are supposed to follow you. And that's what I want to say before we get into this little mess of this message, is that don't follow people. Paul did say, follow me as I follow Christ, but don't come to the place where they become more, what I want to use here, more focused on in what you're doing instead of Christ. Because that puts you in a dangerous situation spiritually. Never follow a person to the point where that person is the only way to get the answers you need. The one who has the answers is going to be the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can give you the answers if you seek and you pray and ask. Now, don't get me wrong, it's good to follow men and women who are qualified in the offices that God's called them in, and that he uses them in. But if you go here, there, and follow and follow and go here, there, and all the time following them, who are you really following? That's the question you got to ask yourself. And that's why the Lord told me, he said, The signs, you're not supposed to follow the signs. The signs are supposed to follow you. So a little bit of history of how the Lord has redirected me in this area where, you know, and I hear it from other people, other brothers and sisters, right, about, oh, this certain person, this certain person was here. Oh, we're going to end service early because we got to go see a certain person. I'm thinking, who are you serving, man? Who's the one you really serving? You serving this person? You got your eyes so much on this person that you're missing the direction of leading the Holy Spirit? Something to think about. Don't you think? I think that's something big time to think about. Okay, so let's get this done with this part about the who are the creatures in the dream. All right. And it says the power. Okay. And for them, you see your eternal life, and realize that that was using religion and religion extremists to come against the body of Christ. You know that to be true. And the devil is persecuting, attacking our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world. Just like that boy, because he was just a Christian. He wasn't doing anything else. He was just a Christian. And what they do, they set him on fire. And now he's dead. This is in Pakistan. And how is it that we, as a country in America, our leadership, the administration, the government, that's supposed to be serving us, and it looks like we're supposed to, if they were slaves to them, are making these top professional, I guess, helicopters or whatever they're called, and all this military equipment to these people who, I'll put it this way, Pakistan is a Muslim country. And so we're going to give them more to take out Christians, their own people, just because they don't believe the way they believe, and yet we're going to help them do that? That's pretty sad, you ask me. You know, in a situation with Iran, when Iran is only what they want to do is destroy Israel, blow them off the face of the earth, the administration is like, here's the key, go ahead and do it. And then you got people in